Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, the perfection of renunciation, text number 75. Yas prasada chutavan. Etan guyam ahamparam. Yogam yogeshwarat krishnat. Sakshat katiyatak svayam. Yes, Pasada. By the mercy of Vyasadeva, Shudavan, have heard, Etat, this, Guyam, confidential, Aham, I, Param, the Supreme, Yogam, mysticism, Yoga Ishvarat, from the master of all mysticism. Krishna, from Krishna, Sakshat, directly, Katyataha, speaking, Swayam, personally. Translation of Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. By the mercy of Yas, I have heard these most confidential talks directly from the master of all mysticism, Krishna, who is speaking personally to Arjuna. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Vyas was the spiritual master of Sanjaya, and Sanjaya admits that it was by Vyas's mercy that he could understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This means that one has to understand Krishna not directly, but through the medium of the spiritual master. The spiritual master is the transparent medium, although it is true that the experience is still direct. This is the mystery of the cyclic succession. When the spiritual master is bona fide, then one can hear Bhagavad Gita directly as Arjuna heard it. There are many mystics and yogis all over the world, but Krishna is the master of all yoga systems. Krishna's instruction is explicitly stated in Bhagavad Gita. Surrender unto Krishna. One who does so is the topmost yogi. This is confirmed in the last verse of the sixth chapter, Yoginam api sarvesham. Narada is a direct disciple of Krishna, the spiritual master of Vyas. Therefore, Vyas is as bona fide as Arjuna, because he comes in the disciple's succession. And Sanjaya is the direct disciple of Vyas. Therefore, by the grace of Vyas, Sanjaya's senses were purified, and he could see and hear Krishna directly. One who directly hears Krishna and understands this confidential knowledge. If one does not come to the disciple's succession, he cannot hear Krishna. Therefore, his knowledge is always imperfect, at least as far as understanding Bhagavad Gita is concerned. In Bhagavad Gita, all the yoga systems, karma yoga, jnana yoga, and bhakti yoga are explained. Krishna is the master of all such mysticism. It is to be understood, however, that as Arjuna was fortunate enough to understand Krishna directly, so by the grace of Vyas, Sanjaya was also able to hear Krishna directly. Actually, there's no difference between hearing Krishna directly from Krishna and hearing directly from Krishna via a bona fide spiritual master like Vyas. The spiritual master is a representative of Vyasadeva also. Therefore, according to the Vedic system, on the birthday of the spiritual master, the disciples conduct a ceremony called Vyas Puja. Vyas Prasada Chutavan Etad Guyamaham Param Yogam Yogeshwara Krishna Sakshat Katyatak Swayam. By the mercy of Vyas, I have heard these most confidential talks directly from the master of all mysticism, Krishna, who is speaking personally to Arjuna. In reference to what this all means, we can refer back to the fact that Krishna is God. Aham sarvasya pravo matak sarvam pravartate iti matva bhujante mam buddha bhava samanvitaha. That Krishna is the source of all the material and spiritual worlds. Not a small accomplishment creating unlimited universes. You have to be very special to do that. And at the same time, everything comes from him, so he's a reservoir of all beauty, all knowledge. As he says, he knows everything in the past that happened. We don't even know what's happening in the back of our heads, but he knows everything past, present, and future. So he has a little bit more knowledge than we have. What's that? What's that? It sounds like a waterfall.
Yeah, put the water where it's a child.
It's stuffed. So Krishna is the source, he has all knowledge, all fame, all strength, all beauty, and all renunciation. And the whole, therefore the whole aim of existence should be to realize him. Because he's the reservoir of all pleasure. And everyone is looking for pleasure. Everyone is looking for happiness. Everyone is looking for beauty, some shelter. Everyone is actually searching for Krishna. But there's a process of obtaining Krishna. For those who are interested in obtaining Krishna, otherwise, one will have to settle for worshiping some manifestation of Krishna in the form of the material energy, the 8,400,000 species of life. The soul has to worship, so either he worships Krishna directly, or he worships some part of Krishna's energy. Therefore, Krishna says, "Mach chita, mach kata, prana, bodhi, antash, parash, param, kataya, antasyamam, nityam, tushanti, cha, ramandicha." That the thoughts of my pure devotees, they dwell in me, their lives are surrendered to me, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss by enlightening one another and conversing about me. So, the duty of a devotee is to tell others about his understanding of Krishna. And therefore, with the idea to help others, or to be helped by others, how to utilize our prana and our chitta. Chitta means consciousness. So we're supposed to be absorbed in thinking about Krishna. But that comes naturally when we utilize all our prana, all our energy in Krishna's service, then Krishna naturally reveals himself to us. If Krishna reveals himself to us, it's very easy to think about him, because as he reveals his pleasure potency, as we come under his pleasure potency, then we become interested in coming more under the pleasure potency. Therefore, we're more and more willing to do whatever Krishna wants us to do, to become, because the reward is coming under his pleasure potency. We may not get name or fame or wealth or anything, but if we get the pleasure potency, then we're more than happy. We're ecstatic. We're in love with Krishna. Up to the point of Krishna Karshini and Sundarananda Vishak Mahatma. The pleasure is so intense that we're not even aware of this such a thing called the material world anymore. Everything is pleasurable. And we're in love with everyone and everything. There's no more... No one has to really tell us anything because we're already in love with everyone. What more can you expect? What more can you want? That's the topmost knowledge. And anyone who doesn't think that's the topmost knowledge, they're in ignorance. So as we utilize our prana and our citta, beginning with citta, with our consciousness, so we're learning how to desire properly, what to desire and what not to desire, what to become attached to and what to become detached from. As our thoughts flow through our minds, as our conceptions are manifested within our heart, so we have to learn how to utilize properly our mind and our intelligence by hearing instructions and seeing examples of those who are properly utilizing their mind and intelligence and their senses in Krishna's service. Then, that practice is tesham satadam yukdanam bhajantam pritipurvakam tadami buddhiyogam tam yena mam upiyandite. To those who are constantly devoted to worshiping me with love, then I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. So as Krishna sees that we're willing to give up things which take our minds away from Krishna, because it's a conscious choice. The soul is spontaneously attracted to so many things in the material world, and to give up one thing at a time is quite an effort for the soul, because he likes these things. He has a taste for them. And when he gives them up, he doesn't necessarily get immediately a taste, another taste. Because Krishna wants to see how sincere we are. Or as Prabhupada writes, one has to be pass the test of the spiritual master. And when the spiritual master sees the genuine desire of the disciple, he automatically blesses the disciple with genuine spiritual knowledge. In this verse, when the student is always inquisitive and ready to render service, then the reciprocation of knowledge and inquiries become perfect. So there's testing to see if we're really sincere. And then when Krishna sees we're sincere, then he actually gives his mercy. And that sincerity is we're willing to give up things that take our that are outside of devotional service and perform steady, enthusiastic service. Steady service means give up the bad habits we have. And enthusiasm means to give up the wrong conceptions we have. The wrong conception is we think we're something other than an eternal spirit soul, servant of Krishna. And therefore we're subjected to become attached to being morose, or a passionate, or so many different things. We identify ourselves with these moods. Well, actually, we have nothing to do with them. Instead, we can identify ourselves with the moods of Krishna's devotees, like Srila Prabhupada. And if we put Prabhupada in our heart, then we'll have the same mood he has. And if we put anyone else in our heart, then we'll have the same mood they have. So it's all according to who we're associating with. And everything we're doing, doesn't matter what it is, it's following someone's instructions and someone's example. So we may not remember whose example or whose instruction we're following, but we're following someone. Now, if it's consciously the example of a great devotee like Prabhupada, or the acharyas in our disciples' succession, or the examples of Narada Muni, or the 12 Mahajans, Then we get Krishna's association, as well as his pure devotees' association. And if we don't follow one of those personalities, then we must be following someone else's instructions. We've only been followers eternally, so we're always following someone. So therefore, the reason why we're not steady is because we're attracted to someone else's example or instructions. The reason why we're not thinking about Krishna is because we're thinking about something else. As we've been told that these other things that we're thinking about can cause us happiness, peace, and prosperity. And therefore, we're attracted to thinking about them or acting for them. But if we try to follow Krishna's instructions through his representatives and Krishna's giving us Krishna's instructions, try to steadily serve his instructions, and do it enthusiastically under the protection of a pure devotee, then the result is that Krishna will give us more and more intelligence to understand things properly. That we won't be just blindly following the instructions, nor will we blindly try to develop the same mood as the pure devotees, but we'll understand why. Everything will become clear. And why? Tesham eva nukam bharata mahama gyana jam tamaha nasham yam yatma bhavashto gyana dipena bhashvata. Out of compassion for them, I dwelling in the heart, destroy the shining lamp of knowledge, the darkness point of ignorance. So, unless we can invoke Krishna's compassion, we don't go anywhere. We may think I'm making so much progress by because of my prowess or my intelligence or my good qualities, but those are all blockages. Therefore, it is said, especially in this age, Parama Karuna Bhavashi. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Doya Koramore. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Doya Koramore. Tamarabina Ke Doya Alyu. Jagat Samsara. So in this world of samsara, one needs Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. But Patita Pavana Hetu Tava Avatar. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to deliver people who think they're fallen. After all, since we're not this body, and yet we think we're this body, that's a pretty fallen condition. No matter how advanced we may think we are, but unless we think we're fallen, then we're fallen. As soon as we stop thinking about what our real situation is, how we ourselves is 1/10,000th the size of Tipperary's size, the only thing big about it is our illusion of identifying ourselves with something we're not, taking credit for it, where we're not even the body, nor are we working, nor are we the actual personality who is giving the energy by which the body actually functions. Ultimately, all energy comes from Krishna through his various energies. We're just one of the energies. We have our role to play. Either we can accept Krishna's instructions through his representatives, or we instruct someone else's. We take someone else's instructions. There are millions of instructions coming under the three modes in goodness, passion, ignorance. And there's also Krishna's instructions. To always think of him, become his devotee, etc., etc. And ultimately to give up everything else except for that. So as long as we're not willing to do that, then we have to accept our identification with this gross and subtle body. And if we think we're doing quite well in this gross and subtle body, then we're really in trouble. And if we think, well, I'm in trouble, I have to rely on Krishna, that's the beginning of the end of our trouble. There's no other way of ending our trouble other than to realize that we're fallen. It's not a question, I'm so humble, I'm thinking I'm fallen. But we're actually all fallen. Otherwise, we wouldn't be in the material world. It's not out of humility, it's out of reality that we understand we're fallen. And therefore, then we can actually pray to Krishna with some feeling. Even worse than not realizing that we're fallen is to think I'm going to become something other than I'm going to make advancement by working in the material world and getting wealth or getting followers or getting influence, then I'm going to make some advancement. Yeah, we'll make advancement towards the darkest regions of material existence, but we won't be making advancement towards the spiritual world. The spiritual world, no one thinks they're exalted. Even Srimati Radharani thinks herself to be simply a maidservant to Krishna. And by the mercy of her assistant, she's able to serve, do a little service for Krishna. And if we think we're something other than what we actually are, 1/10,000th the size of Tipperary's size, aspiring to become an instrument for Krishna, then we're simply living in an illusion, that's all. And we can enjoy our illusion as much as it's enjoyable, but compared to spiritual life, it's compared to a drop of water in the desert, which is not very satisfying.